It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
Hi there, I'm Jeff Quattromani.
Hello there, I'm Jason Murray.
And together we are the team that is going to bring you... Have you two been plotting something at dinner?
No, that just sounded really good.
Thank you.
Together we're the team Together we're the team that is going to bring you today's Gadget Grill, whether you're listening right now on Sunday night or whether you're listening right now on Tuesday afternoon.
That's right.
Who needs a TARDIS?
I could do with one.
You could do with one,
yeah.
Could you?
Yeah.
Do you want to borrow mine? It's
yes.
Out in the car park. Jeff, what have you been up to, mate?
Speaking of car park, I am not driving my car tonight.
Why not?
The Volkswagen was in a car accident this week.
Oh, no.
Mm.
How bad? You're obviously okay.
Yeah, it's not a write-off, but on the M2, guy lost control doing 100 and in the wet and just sort of slid into me a bit. So.
Oh. Rear-ended?
No, on the side, because he hit the wall first and then hit me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I'm really glad you're okay. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, mate, good fun.
So what are you driving?
Driving the Mrs. Audi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's still a Volkswagen.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's no good. Glad that you're okay, mate. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Car's not.
No.
Sadly.
Jason, have you had anything as exciting as that happen to you?
Well, I attended the RTX AU Video Gaming and Internet Culture Expo yesterday.
Internet culture. There's two words you don't hear very often together.
Well, you do, but it's often used disparagingly.
Well, there's often the word not interspersed somewhere in there.
So this is Australia Day. Celebrate your internet culture.
Absolutely.
Yes. So that was a bit of fun. I went along. I saw some gaming personalities that I didn't recognise.
That means they're not really a person.
Yeah, no, it was quite funny.
Jason doesn't know who they are, then they're nobody.
Then they don't exist.
That's it.
I was walking along, and I was suddenly aware of the fact that nearly everyone around me was looking up to this upper level, and oh my god, and I looked up and was like, I don't know who that is. And then there was this weird moment where people were like heckling this person who was standing on the upper level, just sort of like going, "Oh, hi everyone," and everything. And
Queen Lizzie.
I went and lined up for a drink, and which took 20 minutes. Thanks, guys. While I was in the drink, the guy in front of me just turned around and spontaneously yelled out to this woman who was on the upper level, "Sing the Canadian national anthem." I'm like,
oh, Celine Dion.
Yeah, it must have been.
Oh,
yeah.
Celine Dion was there.
Celine Dion is probably slumming at an Australian Gaming Expo these days.
Isn't she the one that got engaged to Packer?
Jamie, yeah.
Was that Mariah Carey?
Yes. Mariah Carey.
Female pop singers mixed up.
Well, yeah,
I just point out, this is the Gadget Grill. We don't necessarily, we can't necessarily tell the difference between Celine Dion and Mariah Carey.
All I know is that I don't like either of them very much.
Well, I don't know if I don't like them.
Harsh.
No. I don't like the work that they do.
Yeah, we don't like the work that they do.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah. And I don't have a lot of respect
I like the way Gary's just accepted the way that you've changed his previous statement without really admitting it.
That's so good.
Yep. You've got to remember, I'm a musician and I take my music very, very seriously.
Mariah Carey soon to be a half Australian.
No, she's not.
Which half?
The inner half, the outer half.
Not going there. Not falling for it.
Well, on the subject of music, as we were talking about it now, as we have segued across.
We've got quite a lot of music, actually, now.
Yes, yes. This week, once again, there was some sad news in the music world.
Oh, yeah.
The passing of Glenn Frey.
Big news.
Yeah. Big news.
I only saw him last year.
Wow. That's right. You were saying last week that you went to the concert.
Went there last year. Fantastic.
Yeah. And now he's no more. This afternoon we were watching on video. We were watching some Hendrix stuff, and then Dee put on some Eagles stuff. Yep. And to open the show tonight, I've got the Eagles and Take It Easy.
Fantastic.
Turn the sound up, this is good.
Well, I'm running down the road the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Take it easy.
We're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and all over the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
All over the internet. My God, we're being splattered.
All over the internet on one particular website.
All over it.
From one particular... We're actually on two different websites. Yeah, because the stream goes to a different website as well and gets streamed from there.
Boom.
TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio does have 2RDJ, absolutely.
Yeah. And while we're talking about the streaming of the radio, we need to say hello to Jeffrey's mother,
who is listening. All of the times that we actually joke that Jeff's mum is listening, I got to say my mum is usually listening. I normally get an SMS after the show going, "Hi, darling, it was nice to hear your voice on the radio."
Oh,
well, there you go.
Hello to Jason's mum as well.
There you go. So we've got three listeners.
Yep. We have three listeners because I know DD Cup is listening tonight as well. Hello, DD Cup.
We
are thinking of you. All the lovely ladies are listening.
So
Jeff, is your wife listening?
No.
I don't blame her.
She doesn't.
So we're like the old newsreaders on shows that would say hello to greet each viewer individually.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we got news?
We have. I presume we have news. Jeff, do you want to start?
I can. The Consumer Product Safety Commission in the US is encouraging consumers to buy a fire extinguisher if you're buying a hoverboard. And they're serious.
I am shocked.
They are deadly serious about it.
They didn't just advise you to not buy a hoverboard.
No.
That's a whole different story.
They advise charging the boards away from combustible materials, like wearing protective gear, and keeping a fire extinguisher nearby at all times.
That's pretty awesome.
Because houses are burning down. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. It is getting way out of hand. People are getting hurt. Houses are burning down. These hoverboards are... what skateboards could be.
Have we figured out why hoverboards are spontaneously combusting? Like, are they just poorly made?
I think it's cheap batteries.
It's a combination.
Yeah, because obviously the battery is getting knocked around quite a lot while it's in the board.
Yeah,
poor manufacturing from some companies. The good ones are really expensive.
Mm.
So people naturally go for the cheaper ones, which are made, you know, in sweatshops or something like that, and they're just poor.
Mm.
They're just really bad. The technology isn't wired correctly, and especially during charging when it gets hot, the thing catches fire.
If you are planning to hoverboard, please hoverboard responsibly.
Of course, there is the problem that they're called hoverboards, and what are they not?
Yeah, then they don't hover.
They do have wheels on them, yes. I would just not buy one on principle for that.
Exactly. Well, I would buy one, first of all, for that reason.
So you can shout at someone?
And secondly, can you imagine me riding one?
Well,
I'm actually surprised. I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I got a question to move us on.
Okay.
How much money do you think Google has made from Android?
I'd say not a lot.
No, I'll hang on.
It's a trick question.
I would say that
the operating system itself is free.
Yes. However, I would say that what it leads to in terms of opportunity in revenue
is that from Android.
It is because...
Shall I perhaps explain
please what's do.
Happened this week? Yeah, horrible question, Jason.
So there is, yeah, I'm, look, what is going look, on? Look, I'm sorry. I shall...
Please,
I shall
look, don't I, stand in the... Oh, you are in the corner.
I'll be sure to pick your stories apart as well.
Please do.
I'll be tearing you down later.
So there is an ongoing spat, a legal spat, just to be more specific and technical, between Google, the makers of Android, and Oracle, the owners of Sun Microsystems, who are the original creators of Java. Now, this spat this week saw
Android uses Java quite a lot.
It does, that's right. So this spat has seen Google's revenue that it attributes to Android apparently revealed to the world this week. Now, the numbers that were revealed in court this week show that Google has made $31 billion in revenue from Android, and $22 billion of those dollars is profit.
Woo! That's not bad.
Now, the catch is, it might not be right, because Google has actually refused to reveal these numbers itself, saying that it doesn't break out Android's revenue individually, but of course they know, right? And that the numbers are commercially sensitive, so it's refused to reveal them. Oracle is actually the ones who revealed the numbers, and they won't tell anyone how they obtained the information.
Oh, okay. Let me pick a number between 10 and 20 billion, Jeff.
Pick a number between 31 and 33 billion.
There you go.
So there is... There is a bit of a catch with that because the numbers weren't actually revealed by Google. Yeah. But
while we're talking money, and this is a verifiable amount, Ruslan Kogan,
who
discount Kogan, you know Kogan.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, have you heard that they've had to pay out $32,500 roughly in penalties?
Oh, this is
for
good.
For the ACCC because they made false or misleading representations in a Father's Day promotion about the price of three computer monitors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What they did was they put the price of the monitors on their website as being X percent, what is it, 40% discount or something, 20% discount off the... they said, let me see. Yeah, they put the prices on the web as though customers were going to receive a 20% discount, but they put the prices up.
Just before they did the discount.
And so customers only got a 9% discount. And then after the promotion ended and the 20% offer ceased, they put the price back to the original price, put it back down. And the ACCC thought... that was not a kosher move.
No, that doesn't seem like it.
No,
so they copped a fine.
They copped a fine on that.
Silly people.
While we're talking about that, Harvey Norman copped a $52,000 fine as well in one of their Queensland stores because their staff were misleading customers over consumer rights.
I heard about this as well, yes. This is, I think, last week.
This was absolutely right. This was last week. But basically, as consumers, we have certain rights that cannot be overridden by anything. These are legal rights that
company
we have.
Company policy can't change them.
No, company policy. And they had salespeople in the store, in one store, misleading customers and saying, basically not telling people what their actual rights were.
Like that.
Not very good.
No, speaking of silly, actually, the top passwords...
That's our best segue ever.
I know, the top passwords for 2015 have been revealed again.
Mm-hmm. Ah, let me guess. 123456.
Is still number one.
Let me guess number two. PASSWORD.
Still number two.
There we go.
However, jumping up to number three this year, 123456789.
It's because a number of sites would have started to require 8-digit passwords.
Correct. So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not use these as your password.
If we've just read out your password,
then you have a problem.
Yeah. The first thing you should not do if we've just read out your password is exclaim to everyone in the room that, oh my God, they just read out my password.
I need to go change my password.
I need to change my Gmail password.
Yes, indeed.
Some of them are gold, though, like QWERTY, using the top keyboard, the keys of your keyboard.
The top alphabetic row of the keyboard.
Yeah, the better one than that would be Dvorak, because no one will guess it.
True. The word welcome has entered the top 20 this year.
Well, that's a new one.
I think that might be from my workplace.
I think that anybody who uses common words from the English language that are not misspelt deliberately is being very silly, or anyone who's using anything that is painfully obvious.
If someone doesn't know how to spell a particular word, does that make them really smart or really dumb now?
Yes. It depends on the context of using the misspelled word.
Yes, to both.
My favorite password-related gag was a webcomic I saw a few years ago where a help desk engineer asked this person who'd call up, so can you tell me what your password is? And the person said, yes, it's star, 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 star. And the guy was just stumped for a minute, and the person on the other end of the phone's gone, huh? You can't tell if I'm being really smart or really dumb, can you?
That reminds me of when I was doing contracting at a bank many, many moons ago in another lifetime.
Last week?
Yeah. To give you some idea of the context, the timing of this, the IBM PS2 was just being installed in the offices.
Shiny new PS2.
Now, if you can,
these days that means PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes. No, PS2. And one of the big features of the new IBM computers was that they went from a 5.25-inch floppy disk to the 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Love those 3.5-inch floppy disks. They're awesome.
Yeah, and we had people calling the support desk at this bank saying that they were having trouble getting their disks into the new machines. They wouldn't fit. Even when they folded it up, they couldn't get it to work. They're trying to fold up 5.25-inch floppies and put them into a 3.5-inch drive. And then again, you get the common customer support call where the people ring up and complain about the cup holder not opening.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Wow.
I've got one more news item if we have time.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. Right. I've got a couple more.
Okay. I have one more also.
So it's 2016 and time for Nintendo to bring out a new console.
Okay.
Their last one?
The last one is the Wii U.
Horrible.
Still connected to my television.
That was what? Really? How long ago? Yeah. 5-6 years now?
No, that was the Wii.
3 or 4. The Wii was a while before that.
I think the Wii was good.
The Wii was good. The Wii U, I think, is a bit of a disappointing follow-up, but it still has a Mario Kart game.
I am biting my tongue right now, guys.
Should be biting something else.
I should be crossing my legs.
So there's a rumor that came out this week that Nintendo is rumored to be working on a 2-in-1 console that is going to function both as a traditional TV-tethered console and a handheld on-the-go gaming device.
Isn't that called like a phone?
In Nintendo's case, that's currently called the 3DS. Because it doesn't actually need a mobile cellular data connection.
Mm.
Now, they first made some moves in this direction with the Wii U that we actually just talked about.
Right.
Because the Wii U had a tablet controller that could be used without a TV so that you could play games. Because whatever the Wii U was going to display on the TV screen gets sent out via some kind of a wireless connection to your tablet controller, so you can play without a TV. Now, we've seen photographs of people sitting in airport waiting lounges with their Wii U under the chair connected up to power and then playing their Wii U games on the tablet.
That's ridiculous.
They've turned it into a portable device already.
My God.
So if Nintendo really is making its new console the successor to the 3DS, it could actually be a good move, because while we've just bagged...
Someone else has already done the work.
Well, no, but we've been bagging out their last couple of consoles because they haven't sold very well and they're not very popular.
Mm-mm.
But their handhelds are really, really popular. Are their handhelds sell like hotcakes.
Who's buying them?
Obviously not you. Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon.
So, so if they can get handheld gamers to actually buy the traditional console and sort of make that leap, that could actually lead to a massive sales success for them this generation.
Okay, I've got...
It's my turn.
It's your turn. Be like that. See if I care.
Because I only got one story left, but speaking of phones, as you were with Nintendo, Apple looks like it may return with a 4-inch phone.
Oh, they'll make everyone so happy.
It'll make me really happy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I stuck with the iPhone 5 up until about 2 months ago, and then I'm on the 6 now, and I don't like it because it's so big. I don't like all the new Android phones because they're so big.
Hmm. I like a big phone.
I like small. Then again, I like...
I can't see.
I think we're demonstrating exactly why there's so many different screen sizes out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So no one's been making new small phones.
Mm-hmm.
So it would actually be kind of nice if someone does.
Except
try
Sony.
And do it.
Sony have been making small phones.
Yeah, but are they high end? Are they on the high end?
Very high end.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
they have the same internals as the larger phones.
Okay.
In the case of the Xperia Z5 Compact, it's got 1 GB RAM less. But yeah.
So it's not the same.
Everything else is the same.
It's not the same otherwise. Mm. So anyway, I would like to see this.
Neither will the 4-inch iPhone be the same. Just you wait. Apple will remove something from it.
So this will be the iPhone 6S4.
This is actually, so far, being called the 5SE.
Oh. No.
That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? But while we're talking about Apple...
Why would you do that?
Look, I don't know. I
call it the iPhone 7 mini.
Well, I invited Tim Cook to be on the show tonight and he didn't respond. So I can't.
You tried. Yeah, you tried. But while we're talking about Apple, they have admitted that there is a problem with the iPhone 6S battery. People have been complaining about that for ages.
Hmm.
And they are now saying that there is a bug in the software, in the firmware in the phone, where it incorrectly displays the battery as having a greater charge than it actually does.
Sounds like exactly the same bug that they had where the iPhone similarly used to incorrectly display a greater signal strength.
It's a variation on a theme.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that you think you've got 80% battery life left and you've got 20% battery life left. And
that's a large margin of error.
I'm not saying those are the numbers. I'm just using that as an illustrative point.
Hmm.
The other Apple story that I have is that a widow... has been using her iPad before her husband died on her husband's Apple iTunes account.
Oh.
Exactly.
That's okay.
And he passed away.
Yeah.
And at some point, the iPad said, I need you to log in again.
Yeah.
And she did not have her late husband's password.
Yeah.
And in order to get the password, she went backwards and forwards with Apple.
Yeah,
it was easy to get a death certificate. It was easy to get the insurance paid out. Apple support told her that she needs to get a court order.
Wow.
Ooh.
They take security very seriously.
They do.
Oh, good on.
It's been sorted out.
Unless you're like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. we'll tell you off the air.
iCloud pictures.
Yes. She played that that role in that movie where she was a lawyer.
She was really hungry.
Was that lawyer one?
The Hunger Games.
No.
No.
Went door to door knocking to be a lawyer.
No. You're thinking.
Are you thinking of Erin Brockovich?
Yeah, she was Erin Brockovich.
No, that was Julia Roberts.
I don't know what's going on.
That was Julia Roberts.
Okay.
This was where they had a breach and her photos got leaked to the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
Apple's security. Look, they've obviously made changes since that happened, so
yes.
Fair enough.
Cool. Yeah, and they can't get anything out. Okay, that's the news. This is
entertaining.
Sherbet. This is entertaining. It is entertaining. Mm. This is Sherbet and Free the People.
Just before we go to Sherbet, like...
Wow. Jeez, he was just about to push the
button. I know. So no one from Sherbet has died this week, right?
But we only play dead people's music.
No, because I've got a couple of birthdays coming up.
Okay.
And the correct answer is no.
Free the people.
I'm not going to do that voice that we were talking about in the break.
Oh, dear.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill, everyone.
You chicken.
Party pooper.
Bark, 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 bark. Guilty as charged. You are listening to the Gadget Grill.
Can you tell we have fun doing this show, listeners?
We have a lot of fun doing the show. We kind of... I think
we certainly don't do it for the money.
I think...
I'm yet to be paid.
I was going to double your pay this week too.
I think one, there was one show last year where I think Jeff and I had Periscope going.
Yes.
And so we left the Periscope system broadcasting during the ad break, and then we were like, oh, we need to be careful what we say even though the microphones are off.
Yeah, that's right. Because off air was not actually off air.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. You're constantly on the air.
Well, when Dee and I were in Singapore last year, Jeff was Periscoping the whole show, and
that's right.
We were chatting live while he was on the air, and I was guiding him through the show to make sure it was an excellent show, as it always is.
Always is.
Yeah.
I need to go back and check out Periscope a little bit more, because they have been making constant improvements to it.
Indeed. Mm. And that's hard, because it started off as a fairly good platform in the first place. Speaking of platforms.
Unexpected praise from Gary there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. For new technology.
You all right?
I'm not feeling well at all.
I've
got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I'm not feeling well. Speaking of platforms, Intel launched or demonstrated some interesting technology, a new platform at CES.
They showed a whole bunch of things. It was awesome.
And one of those things, we've had a couple of interesting discussions off the air about it, but I'm going to let you rant and rave and sing its praises, Jason, because you think that this is brand new technology.
So this is not going to go well, this segment, just in case. So Intel demonstrated a few major things at CES, and I gave Intel big props, because they could have just walked down on stage and said, here is our chip, here is what it does, and here is how much it is, and just like dropped the mic and walked off. But instead, they came up with a fairly nice interactive demonstration. They put wristbands on everyone with Curie chips, which they've since announced. The chips are expected to go on sale for about $10 each US, or you can get a full dev kit with a lot of extra hardware for $30.
That's pretty cheap.
They are pretty cheap. The intention is to use them in wearable devices. They support wireless networks. You can connect things to them and run them off batteries. So Curie chips
Let's start with the basic. What exactly is a Curie chip and what does it support?
Curie chips have a large number of sensors built into them. So most of our phones have a gyroscope and an accelerometer. So Curie can also tell the altitude. It can sense G-forces and all of these other things.
Spins,
movements, all of this really, really interesting stuff. And Intel's not prescribing how you use it. They're just saying, like, this chip can sense it. And so they had us gesturing in the audience with a wristband on, doing fist pumps in the air or punching forward or to the side. Actually, not to the side. That would be really bad considering we were sitting next to other journalists. So you were either punching forward or up. And so whatever we did, they divided the room and they aggregated the movement that was generated on each side of the room, and that affected the pre-press conference music.
So it was a left side of the room versus right side of the room being displayed on the screen in real time.
Not just displayed, but it was also affecting the music that they were playing as well. So it was altering it in real time.
Actually, the beats, the music. Mm. It's worth mentioning that these chips are smaller than a fingernail.
Yeah, they're tiny.
They are tiny.
Now, you mentioned wearables. Let me go back a step, if I may.
Mm.
With all of the sensors that are in the Curie chip, this could replace the lesser number of sensors that are discrete components in our phones? Is that a potential use case?
I think possibly.
Mm. That's not what they were presenting.
That's not what they were presenting.
But it could go that way, of course.
Yeah, it could be. So they do have Intel-powered Android Wear watches out there, but they are powered by Intel Atom chips, and there's nothing saying that they couldn't include a Curie chip to actually perform the sensor operation.
Well, now, that's very interesting because, of course, the Atom chip is used in a lot of reasonably powerful computers. This one right here is an Atom chip that I'm looking at. That one over there is an Atom chip, two over there, and one in the office. So we've got five Atom-powered computers here, two of which are helping us do the show.
Yeah.
And to put these Curie chips in there
wouldn't really do that much for your PCs.
Not for these PCs.
For wearables.
But in terms of putting that into a smaller device, that is really quite a remarkable concept.
They've had mobile Atom chips for a while. Like, you can actually get Android-powered phones that actually have Intel Atom chips in them already.
Right.
Now, the biggest benefit of these Curie chips and the way they demonstrated them was actually showing real-time stats of athletes.
Yeah, they had two demonstrations on stage. They had a couple of BMX bikes, and they attached two chips to each of the bikes because the handlebars function as a separate piece on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a ramp on stage, and they had Intel's CEO stand in the middle of the ramp, and they had the bike. I don't know why I'm doing hand gestures, but they had his
stand in the
middle of these ramps, and they had these BMX riders come in and perform airborne stunts above the company's CEO.
Right.
And so it was kind of daring, and they were showing telemetry on screen behind them, showing the altitude, the G-forces, the number of spins, because these guys were actually like riding up ramps and spinning as they flew through the air. They also had an athlete come on stage and just do some parkour around some random bits of the set. And he was wearing, I think he had some in his shoe and in his belt. And it was
really getting stuff like heart rates, respiration, that sort of thing?
Not sure about heart rate, because you would have to have something more connected to actually perform that sensing. But it's more about the movement.
The physical movement in space.
Yeah. And so that was pretty cool. They also announced that they're actually going to put these chips on all of the athletes at the X Games that are coming up later this month.
Right.
And so ESPN, who's their broadcast partner for the X Games, is going to be monitoring everything that comes back from these chips and creating brand new on-screen visualizations for these sports that show things that people have never been able to tell in real time before.
Okay. Now, this is where I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate and... Not going to pull this apart because they also showed a musician on stage playing music using the sensors. Now, when I've seen this before, there were big sensors placed around the stage monitoring the person's movements.
They'd be cameras.
Effectively, types of cameras, monitoring this guy's movements in space. And then the software that he had was reacting to it. And it was basically like a theremin. So as he moved his hand here, it would play a particular sound and a particular frequency. If he moved his hand somewhere else, then it would do the same sort of thing. Now, they did something with the musician. But what I'm getting from this conversation is that the Curie chips would be something that he'd be wearing and the movements would be sensed from the Curie chip rather than having something spatially placed on the stage. This would be a much more personal interaction with the device. So it's quite a development upon technology that I saw. And the technology that I saw was in New Orleans at a conference probably 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily new technology, but it's a very interesting development of the technology that I've seen. You've changed my mind on this, Jason. Thank you.
I know. I was dreading this discussion.
Yes.
So there are actually two demonstrations that they did that were musically inclined for this. One was this guy who was affecting sort of a more electronic, technical dubstep kind of music. That was before the press conference where they were aggregating all of our movements. And then... at the end of the press conference, they actually had A.H. Rahman, who created the music for Slumdog Millionaire. He came out on stage with his supporting artist, and they played all of these virtual instruments to recreate his musical hit, Jai Ho.
Right.
And that was pretty incredible, watching these guys actually play nothing on stage, but the sound that was coming out, I mean, they could have just been fudging it and actually playing the song, but it sounded perfect. Here we go.
I love that.
So there are a few other cool things that Intel demonstrated at CES. They have you're going to do this every time I say Intel, aren't you?
No, that's enough.
So they have RealSense cameras that provide 3D depth sensing abilities to whatever they're connected to, and obviously you have to drive that with software. But they had a drone that had a RealSense camera that it was using completely onboard systems to follow someone through an obstacle course. And so it was flying around trees, it was flying under trees. They had a little obstacle course with trees and like a dirt track inside the auditorium. It was a very big auditorium. And as this guy was riding around, they had the drone follow him. And at one point, the drone stopped because it realized that he was about to do a loop and come back under him. And so the drone stopped and just waited for him to come back and turned around and started following him again.
Cool.
And then they destroyed
that's fairly, the that's scenery. Fairly...
It's pretty advanced.
Yeah.
That's fairly advanced AI.
Yeah, it really is.
Artificial intelligence, for those who don't know the jargon.
They then destroyed part of the set, which caused a bit of a landslide as the drone was following this guy, and the drone stopped, moved out of the way of the landslide, and flew over the landslide as it was happening.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
Also pretty cool.
Indeed. Mm. This is...
Also pretty cool, right?
It is. This is pretty cool. This is music that is about 50 years old now.
I thought that was the show before us.
That too, yes. This is an Aussie band called The Group, and the track is called Such a Lovely Way. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. We could say on the Intelnet, couldn't we, Jason?
We could at the moment, yes.
Because Intel have done something very interesting as well with 3D technology.
They have. So we were talking a little bit about Intel's RealSense cameras before the break. They've deployed their RealSense cameras in another interesting way, in sports venues, and well, in some sports venues for testing around the States, specifically basketball. And what they've been able to do is take the data from multiple RealSense cameras positioned around a stadium and allow the viewer to switch camera angles, to not just switch camera angles, but to interpolate the camera
to move
and from, move the camera,
move the apparent point of view from one place on the field or on the court to another place
smoothly,
seamlessly. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen this in sporting events, in live sporting events on local TV. I've seen it in
rugby
league and the cricket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tennis is doing it at the moment as well.
And what you're saying is that this is going to be something that is coming into the user realm.
Yes.
Is this what they're doing?
So we can see this at the moment, say when Seven wants to replay something that's happened at the, on the tennis, and they can move things around and sort of they know the angles that they want, and you know, obviously their sponsors do the technology that allows them to move things around. So they can see where a ball landed or things like that. Now, that's not quite the same thing that they're doing here, because they're just using data that's come from sensors to animate that. But what Intel's done is they've actually managed to combine this with live video, and you can now follow the action down the court.
Well, that's more like what they do on the cricket or in the football, where you see one person, say, running from the side, and then they move to a front point of view camera, and it's a smooth transition to that, as though it is one camera moving around the field.
So the big deal with this is that we can both do it. You can move the camera as you like, I can move the camera as I like, and we can both get different real-time video positions of whatever's happening on this sporting field.
When is this going to hit our desktops?
We don't really know yet, because that is very experimental.
Yeah.
But Intel has said that their intention is to provide this for every sport.
Excellent.
That's really cool.
That's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
The demo that they showed, I watch a lot of science fiction where there's suddenly a case where a character is in a room and suddenly there's a camera on them that doesn't actually exist, and you keep thinking, how do they manage this?
Yeah, you know, when I'm watching movies, the thing that always bothers me is, where's the orchestra?
Yeah, of course. Oh, they're actually just behind you.
Right.
But you keep wondering, like, you know, this person's in a sealed room and suddenly they've managed to get a camera in front of them so that they can have a video conversation. This could actually do that.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Okay. I mentioned earlier in the show that there are a couple of birthdays this week.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes the Blues Brothers?
Everyone likes the Blues Brothers.
I think I've seen that movie.
John Orange Whip?
Absolutely. Three orange whips. Mm-hmm. One of my favourite scenes. Mm-hmm. This is John Belushi's birthday. This is the Blues Brothers Band and Born in Chicago. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ-FM 88.1 on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Now, we're very upset with Jeffrey. We're very upset with Jeffrey because last week, as I said that we don't have a useless gadget,
no.
We finished the show, Jeffrey had a useless gadget.
Well, that's yet to be seen without testing.
Did you get one to test?
No, I did not.
Okay. Tell the listener.
So at the Consumer Electronics Show, I was shown and spoken to for quite a while about a product called My Shiny Hiney. Do you need me to go on further?
Please do.
Okay,
please do.
Great.
We want this in great detail.
So essentially, it's like a toothbrush for your other areas.
For the exhaust pipe.
For the exits, and it's got a long handle, so you can get to those hard to reach places, just like toothbrushes. It also comes in a whitening cream for those.
No, it comes with a whitening cream
for those hard to reach places.
Yeah.
You've missed another important part, because first of all, you've got the scented creams.
There is different scented creams, yeah, to make sure that those hard to reach places can smell like lavender and stuff, and
right.
Lemon.
And yep. the one that really got us is the whitening cream.
They call it lightening cream, but essentially it is there to whiten the darkest skin.
Mm. Right.
Okay. I think we're done. We must be done. And it's $20 if anyone's interested in buying one.
I'm actually wondering when you are receiving the review unit and if you will tell us.
Well, the other thing about this is, of course, that as Jeffrey described it, it is a bit like a toothbrush. Does that mean that you could use, if you lose your toothbrush, could you use this?
I hope no one's having dinner right now.
It would be pretty late if they were, but like, I mean, there's whitening toothpaste.
Well, there is indeed.
Yeah. Yep.
I wonder how that'd go instead of the whitening cream.
are you suggesting that we already have these tools, we're just using them in the wrong places?
I may well be doing that.
All right. You've been listening to The Gadget Grill. I'll wrap up the show.
Please do.
On
Shiny Gadget
Radio Grill. 2 RDJ 88.1.
With Shiny Heinies.
It's been lightened. It's been great. Thanks
the
for coming
has
along.
It's been pretty light tonight, actually.
Thank you for having us in your ears. And
very
hopefully we'll...
Apparently in other places as well.
Hopefully we'll speak to you again next week. I am Jeff Quattromani.
I am Jason Murray.
And I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. To take us out tonight, we're listening to Gary Burton, who is also having a birthday.
To take us out.
Yes. To take us out.
It all comes back to the shiny eye.
It does indeed. This is Gary Burton, who is celebrating a birthday, and it is Senor Mouse. Take care.
Bye-bye.